Good morning, folks. My name is Abhishek Tiwari. I'm a program manager with the Windows Data Center Networking and Platform team. In this session today, we're going to talk about secure remote access in Windows 10. As just before this, there was a talk earlier at the same time, which was scheduled, I think, for the Windows servicing, and that's supposed to be in this one. And that got canceled, and then this session is about secure remote access. For the folks who are here for the Windows servicing, it's not happening. Okay. So in this session, we talk about the current landscape for the secure remote access, why suddenly we all are talking about enterprise access, consumer access, what's the landscape, it's changing, difference between personal versus enterprise, and then the typical IT admin challenges for the securing its data, corporate resources, and doing remote connectivity. Then we'll go through the overview of Windows 10 investment for the remote access area. This overall content is about 30 to 35 minutes. So I would encourage if you guys have a question on any of the topic or investment or scenario, just please come towards that mic and then ask that question. I'll try to answer as we proceed. So secure access. I just want to talk about why we suddenly for past few years, again talking about this VPN remote access. The VPN was supposed to be legacy, very stable, done deal. People understand what's happening in the VPN world. Products were mature. But suddenly everyone is talking about the secure remote access. And then some of the reasons are the changing landscape. Things happening, the mobile device explosion, we all know suddenly it's majority of our corporate employees or information workers, users have these smartphones. They want to bring these devices back into the corporate. They want to get always connected to the corporate. And then IT admin is thinking about how I would ensure it's enterprise data is secure, it's protected. At the same time, he's not running against the explosion of the policies. So that's about the explosion of the mobile devices. The second thing which is happening in the current industry or trend is about the next generation credentials. So we all know, no matter how secure your password is, how many complex characters, numbers you use, it's very easy to find it out one weak link. And through that weak link or that site, once that password is available, I can access to your other secure sites. For example, if you use a password for a site on a social networking, and then someone tries or someone is able to succeed to hack that site and get your password, then he can use that same password to get access to your finance or banking account. So right, so that's a security risk, and then the enterprise and industry is moving towards integrating with the next generation of credentials where the credential is secure, it's one time, and even if the blob or the some aspect of that authentication is leaked, it still has no value or it has no additional context where the hacker can use the same credentials to access your other secure sites. The third trend is online servicing. And which is interesting because earlier the enterprise boundary was, okay, this is my corporate network, this is my, the firewall, and that's the corporate resources I have. And whenever the secure remote access enterprise admin needs to define, he could define his own corporate network as a set of IP address ranges, and as long as you are trying to talk to that network, it's considered you are trying to talk to the corporate. Basically, you're trying to access corporate resources. But unfortunately or fortunately, the moment this online servicing model like Office 365 and other sites comes up, it's no longer about just having your own IP networks. Some of your corporate resources or data is residing on these online services. And whenever we talk about securing remote access or securing access towards corporate resources, we need to make sure we are talking about data which is on your on-premise side, data which sits on your online servicing, which is Office 365 kind of scenario. And then third thing, you might have your own virtual networks on some of the hosted clouds. So When IT admin or information worker, they are trying to access, or IT admin defining a policy, they need to consider this, all these aspects of the corporate network. So this overall, the boundary of the corporation or the network is changing. On the challenges side of the VPN world, it's like we don't have a standard way of implementing these VPN tunnels. Each vendor or the VPN solution provider has their own proprietary implementation of tunnel, and there is no standard, like, you know, for the interop and other purpose. That makes it a little challenging. And recently we are having this security concern, not only on the enterprise side, but people are concerned on their privacy and other security data leak issues for their personal data side as well. So the VPN market trend, we are seeing it's on the rise for the consumer scenarios as well. We see it's like, you know, when we go to a particular geography, we want to have our all the personal browsing experience go through a secure tunnel. By the way, before I go to the next slide, I just want to understand the audience over here, how many of you are from the enterprise IT side of it? Oh, okay, cool. And how many of you are from the ISV, which is like VPN solution provider or MDM provider? None. Well, some of the topics which I'm going to touch base about, like, you know, it's going to, it's related to the VPN ISV, the solution provider, and how we can build a good remote access solution on the Windows 10 platform. But anyway, moving towards the next slide. And in the VPN solution as part, it's not changing. It's about like creating a secure tunnel over internet to access your corporate resources. There are two aspects on the secure tunnel. We, the implementation-wise, we are having a scenario where your device is connected to your corporate network. The connectivity is over the IP, and then with this interface, you can access many resources which are available on your corporate network side. Then the other side of the VPN implementation, as we call it sometimes, SSL browser-based, where a specific L4 or socket-level connectivity happens, and only that application is able to access the data over the VPN socket. So let's understand what's the enterprise expectation from the devices, or like, you know, these devices accessing remote access are. The first thing is, every IT admin or enterprise want its employees to be productive. And then when we talk about enterprise to be productive, they want access from anywhere using any devices. And right now, the smartphones, and then there are, like, you know, the multiple vendors. It's not one dominant player like earlier days in the Windows PC, that, like, you know, everyone has Windows PC, and then, you know, you just nail that scenario. So people want to make sure on the IT side they provide a solution that works for all devices. And it's always connected. As and when the enterprise want to use or access to the corporate data, it's available for it. The second thing is worried about the access to the corporate resources. And he wants to do the role differentiation. He wants to make sure the policies are easily customized, where a set of data which is applicable to a particular role is available to that role only. The other set of data which is belongs to a different role or the engineering organization side, it's those policies can be set very easily. So it's protecting your corporate resources. And I'll touch base some of the detail on the Windows 10 platform investment we are having for to secure your corporate data. Then it's about audit and then protect against data leak. And data leak is an interesting part, because data leak at times, it's not just the intentional leak. Most of the time when data leak happens, it's a unintentional leak. The good faith employee trying to do something and happen to have like leaking the confidential data for the enterprise. And we want to protect against that scenario. We want to make sure these unintentional leaks of data is prevented, especially when you are trying to access or like upload data through the secure remote access connection. And then fourth aspect is easy management. Given these, the plethora of devices coming in, and then these devices at times not completely owned by the corporate. And in these personal devices scenario, admin wants to ensure that right level of provisioning, security, and compliance exists. But at the same time, he does not want to overburden the user. And it, Also, you don't want to undermine the personal experience on these devices, because these devices are dual purpose. They are doing the enterprise access and then personal experience as well. So let's take a recap of Windows 8.1 remote access. So the big thing on the Windows 8.1, in the phone, first time we released the VPN solution. As part of this VPN solution, we have an inbox implementation of Ike V2 and L2TP tunnels. Those are the two inbox VPN tunnels we provided. We also put a new VPN platform, which is available for both Windows on the PC side and then Windows Phone. This platform provides a reliable way of third-party VPN solution providers to implement their VPN implementation inside Windows for phone and for desktop as well. In this case, from the enterprise IT admin side, they are not installing any software which is on the kernel mode. All the kernel mode driver implementation is done by Windows, so it's secure. And the client application which you are installing runs on the user mode. On top of it, this client application, VPN client applications, runs in a same app container security model like our Windows Store apps. So the overall privilege, it runs on and we call it low aisle. The overall access or permission to that VPN is low. So the chances of you impacting the user experience on this device is because something bad happens, or that tunnel or the implementation doing wrong thing is very low because we are following the same app security model. The third big improvement when we were designing the Windows VPN platform solution, it's about ensuring the power and battery life. One of the things, like, you know, the intention was this VPN solution would be used from your mobile devices, which, like, you know, we have a concern about the battery life. So we have this implementation where VPN tunnel runs in a background. It doesn't have any active usage unless there is really an action pending for the VPN tunnel. So when data is, like, you know, needs to be sent or received, that's the only time that background application, which is a VPN tunnel session, comes up. And that ensures that system is doing right thing to protect your battery life and power. At the same time, it also gives a security because VPN tunnel is not on the foreground and then doing things which you don't want to do it. The other thing which we did on this third-party VPN solutions, it's integrated with the overall connection experience with Windows. So the way we have a wireless connection Wi-Fi experience, we used to call it view area network. If you remember, in the Windows PC side, a perpendicular bar comes in where you can see all your interfaces. This VPN is integrated with that connection experience. So user is familiar with it. They have the same experience like connecting to the other interfaces, and which provides a good experience for both IT admin and user. On the distribution side, it was a close, limited program in 8.1. It was open to very few partners. In Windows Phone, these VPN applications are distributed via Phone Store. In Windows PC side, these VPN applications are inbox. That's the model we were following in Windows 8.1. Folks, interrupt me for any question if you have. As I said, my overall content is about like 40 minutes. So let's talk about Windows 10 secure remote access investment. What are the things we are doing for the secure remote access side on the investment? The other thing which I have not touched, we on the Microsoft side, we have a specific direct access solution that is applicable to domain joined machines running on the enterprise SQ. And if you have a question on a direct access, you can raise those questions as well. So Windows 10 remote access overview. The first thing is we want to expand this program. We want to open it to all VPN solutions provider. It's no longer about very few limited partners. We wanted to be careful when we were designing this platform to ensure we have a right architecture, we have a right principle, scale, and performance. And based on our experience, I think we have done a good investment of our platform that can be expanded to all the VPN ISVs or solution providers. So this is the big thing we would be doing in Windows 10, make sure all applications, both on the enterprise VPN client solution provider or consumer VPN client solution providers, having access to this platform. The second thing is we want to bring the uniformity in the distribution of these VPN applications. So we would be bringing all the VPN applications over a store. It's up, whether it's for the PC or it's for the phone, it would be distributed via a store. The other thing is, how many of you heard about universal apps in the Windows 10 context? Okay, so these applications would be a universal VPN application. That means you will just write one application that works for the phone and then Windows PC. It's no longer about it's the same code base, but we have a different tool set. You have to compile it and submit it differently. It's just going to be one single app that you submit, and that would work for Windows Phone and Windows. So this is on the distribution side of it. The other expanded capabilities, and I'll go through each of these in the incoming slides, is the first is investment we are making it to align this extended enterprise boundaries to make sure it's easily connected. So the enterprise boundary is extended to wherever the user is. So if I'm at my home or a hotel traveling, I want to make sure this VPN is always available for me. So that's the investment we are making. And I'll go through some of the challenges and then the good, simple user experience we are bringing in. Then the second big investment we are doing about per application VPN. This is the platform where we are aligning our VPN solution. Any third-party VPN implementation can leverage a per application VPN where the corporate access or VPN tunnel access is available to the specific set of applications. And we would go through how we differentiate from the existing offerings we have in market today. Then there is investment in the Windows 10, which is we calling as Enterprise Data Protection, EDP. VPN remote access would be integrated with the enterprise data protection, and that provides a nice platform for IT admin to define the enterprise data protection policies at single place and then ensure access, whether data is moving, ingress, egress, or data at rest, is secure. So we'll talk about that as well. Then we talk about the ease of deployment and management. What are the new things we are doing to make sure overall experience on deploying and managing VPN is simple. So let's talk about the always-on connectivity. As the name suggests, we would be bringing like direct access experience, which was available on the enterprise SQ, to VPN to have this always-on experience. And it's a very simple experience. As long as you have a connectivity to your VPN server, the VPN tunnel comes up. But it's more than that. What we are bringing, some of the functionality, it's a configuration available to IT admin side. But some of the things you may want to do it on the enterprise side, if you are having a direct connectivity to your corporate, for example, if you are on a corporate Wi-Fi, that VPN tunnel doesn't come up, you save your battery life, you ensure it remains on a standby. The moment you move out of your enterprise network, the VPN tunnel gets established. You want to make sure when the phone goes on mobile device goes on the standby, you are not churning your battery because it's always on. So it's integrated with our connected standby platform to make sure it's not burning your battery all the time. That's in every investment of our networking side, we want to make sure it's rightly integrated with our connected standby experience to optimize for battery power. The other thing is we are doing is the always on is about the single sign-on experience as well. So far, if your user is or the enterprise has provisioned the VPN solution using the password based, and then you kind of store your password for the VPN tunnel to reuse it, its user experience is simple, but that's unsecure as well. What we are bringing in a platform where you can have your two-factor authentication, and it's about virtual smart card, and then the second investment we are having the next generation credential, which is again through the certificate base, but that certificate is stored in your the hardware, and then it's protected with the TPM. What we are doing there, if user has done any time access to the smart card or the PIN protected certificate, in the platform we will have this VPN process to be capable of ensuring that if for the next session, and that session is defined by the enterprise admin, it's able to use that certificate without prompting a PIN for the user. But at the same time, not caching the PIN. So caching the PIN, I mean, one could achieve, like, you know, cache the PIN, but it's insecure. So in this case, not any application would be having access to that certificate. It's only the VPN application based on the scenarios. For example, if you are logged in into your mobile is a bad example, but PC using the smart card, then the next time the always on tries to, the connection tries to come up, it won't require that prompting the PIN to the end user. And VPN tunnel would be able to establish just using the certificate, just because the platform has an inbuilt trust on the VPN session. And it's just because all the kernel mode driver and then process running is implemented by us. And we don't require any changes from the third party. So if you are having any third party solution, whether like, you know, prominent players like Cisco, Juniper, F5, Checkpoint, SonicWall, their existing VPN client applications on 8.1 they have written, they can simply leverage this always on connectivity, because on the platform side you can push this policy for a profile and it would work. And leveraging all the aspects of it, including the integration with the PIN, single sign-on experience, etc. The second big investment we are doing, the access control for the enterprise resources. And this is about providing per application VPN. Again, it's not a new terminology. We have our competitors supporting this per application VPN. But we are doing it a little differently. The common aspect is the IT admin is able to define the set of a list of applications that it wants to allow to use the VPN or the secure access. That's one thing. But we went a step further. You can not only have your store applications, which are the modern applications sometimes we call, but you could have a classic desktop Win32 style applications as well. And it, depending upon your policy, you could go. So it's a, we call it fully qualified binary name. FQBN is the term we follow. And IT admin has the power saying that, oh, I want to trust the desktop or Win32 applications that are signed by this particular provider. So you could go and saying that, oh, okay, I don't trust on the name, but as long as the Win32 application is signed by the Microsoft or any other provider, I'm going to trust it. And that's like, you know, the capability would be provided to the IT admin. You can trust the name as well. You can say, you know, I just simply trust the iExplorer.exe because this is provided by Microsoft, and even if it's not signed, based on the process name itself, I want to trust it. Or on the store application side, you can give the complete name of application, saying that, you know, this is the application, a store application I trust. Or same way, you can say, you know, I trust this provider. This provider has, like, you know, giving me multiple line of business applications, and hence I want to trust all of these line of business applications. All you need to do is, in the filter list criteria, provide that provider name, and then based on that filtering, VPN platform would do the right thing. You can not only restrict, you can go a level further. You can say, you know, I want to trust this application, and then say this application is again about Internet Explorer. And then since you know that most of the time on the Internet Explorer I would be using either HTTP or HTTPS, which is a port 80 or 443, you could say, oh, this is my application, which is a per application VPN. And on this application, I want to ensure it's only these ports are open. So it's like this application, first level of filtering. The second level of filtering, what kind of ports and then other characteristics you want to open, which is like, you know, typically the 5-tuple based. And this gives the kind of way of granular filtering which probably our, like, you know, the existing solutions doesn't provide. The other thing you could have with this, the application filtering, you can define the policies in different ways. And I'll give you one example. You can define a policy saying that I have a line of business application called X. If my VPN connection is established, I want this all the data access from X to go over through the VPN tunnel. But if my VPN connection is not there, I'm okay, this X is going over internet because it has some other aspects of it. Some of the data either is available through the internet or that application itself is a dual purpose application, which is personal and corporate as well. Enterprise admin can also define saying that, no, this is a very secure application for me and it's bound to the VPN interface. And hence, if the VPN interface is not available, do not send the data from this application over the internet. So it's like, no, the direct tight binding with the VPN interface. The way we have implemented this entire, the per application VPN platform, again, there is no changes required by the existing implementation or existing application. So the 8.1 VPN applications can simply leverage this platform capabilities. This entire provisioning of the per application VPN can be done via MDM. So if you have MDM solution and that MDM solution extended to our Windows 10 features, you can simply configure your per application VPN. And you can keep your existing 8.1 implementations as it is. The per application VPN, which I'll talk on the next slide, is also integrated with the enterprise data protection platform. And I'll cover this aspect in the next slide a little more. The other implementation or the details I want to talk about on this per application VPN, we have ensured that rather than proxying the traffic for that application, we open the right layer 3 pipe to the VPN server so the other security aspects are not broken. For example, if your organization has decided to turn on IPsec or domain isolation or server isolation, you want to make sure that end-to-end protection is followed. At times when you try to proxy the data, some of these mechanics are broken. So in our model, the per application VPN, it will not undermine some of the other security aspects. And it would work as it is, like the way you would be having that application access when you are inside CorpNet. So next session. It's, as I said, our per application VPN is integrated with the enterprise data protection platform. So this enterprise data protection is a big investment for Windows 10, where we want to make sure data is not leaked. The corporate data is secure, and whether intentional or unintentional, the data is not leaked outside of the corporate boundary. In this case, the enterprise data protection solution admin defines its the entire data protection policies. It defines, these are my applications I trust, nothing to do with the secure remote access. It defines these type of applications would be accessing this type of data. Once all the policies defined in a single place, the VPN profile gets automatically enlightened with the policies provided by enterprise data protection. So admin side, they don't have to remember what's the things we have provisioned on the enterprise data protection side versus I have to do the same thing on the secure remote access side. All you have to do is define the right set of your corporate policies to protect your data, and your secure remote access would get enlightened underneath without, like, you know, you having taken any new action towards it. And this data is about both. It's about the ingress and egress, whether it's data incoming to you or data outgoing to you. The other aspect which we are handling in this case, it's defining the corporate boundary. So we not only protect the data which resides on your corporate network, which is a defined set of your on-premise network, but it also protects the data for the some of the online services you subscribe to. So it would ensure that if you are an Office 365 customer, then the data which is being accessed over the internet and then try to store on your device follows the same enterprise data protection policies. It also defines the rich set of functions or capabilities for enterprise IT to define what's the enterprise network look like. You can define the right DNS suffixes, names, IP addresses into it, IP ranges, the online services you need, you are subscribing. So those are the different criteria we provide for enterprise IT admin to leverage and define their corporate network correctly. As I said, the data which is being accessed over here always encrypted and puts into the secure place in your device. The other investment we are having on the networking side is we are providing the Enlightened app. So there are a specific line of business applications or available through our Windows Store can be Enlightened, where they can declare themselves as a dual purpose applications. And since these are the trusted applications by the admin, whenever this Enlightened applications make access or tries to access to the corporate data resources, it passes that security handle to the platform, and whether that access is being done through the your corporate wireless or VPN, that data would put into the secure container. But at the same time, if the same application is trying to have your personal data access, and then it doesn't call or tag that particular access, that would be put into a non-secure environment. And it's up to the admin. Admin can trust that application and saying that I trust this application, it would be doing right thing, marking that data it's being accessed for the corporate versus personal. But at the same time, if you don't trust the application, even if it's Enlightened, you can say this applications belong to corporate. And in that mode, even if that application is trying to access the personal data, it would be put encrypted and then in a secure area for your device. And it follows all the corporate policies, basically. If you try to upload that data to the non-corporate resources, for example, your Twitter account or your Facebook, you would be warned appropriately. An admin can define a policy that simply blocks that operation. So even unintentionally on an information worker side, if you try to do something and you are not sure, the system will protect that data leak happening over the internet and other actions. So that's all inbuilt. Yes, you. I cannot. Can you ask your question over the mic? Sorry.
Just based on what you will describe the application, because the problem is that you have a version of an application and it tends to evolve. So based on what you will describe, what is going to be the criteria on which the application will be described?
Based on how would you say this application is an Enlightened application or not Enlightened application? So there is no certification around Enlightened application or non-Enlightened application. In Windows 10, we will provide a modern API that application can call and then leverage it and then mark itself as a field. And we have not figured it out how we would in the store advertise, hey, this application is utilizing this API. But once it's done, the admin either trusts that application, saying that it would be marking the enterprise data correctly, and if it doesn't trust, then it can mark the entire application to be the corporate application. But it's based on the Windows 10 SDK API we have provided that makes it Enlightened versus non-Enlightened.
No, my point is not, okay, basically you once it's going to be tagged as being Enlightened or Delighted, it will be, we apply different policies.
Right.
The thing is, you say that we're going to have the keys to actually describe which application we trust or not trust.
Yes.
The problem is going to be based on what? Because let's say an application as defined, it could evolve a bit, version change, name change, or whatever.
So, and then how would you trust? So yes, and in that case, you don't have to. So the fully qualified binary name which I talked about, it has multiple aspects. You can go up to the version number, the name of that application. And in that case, if you don't care about the version changes, you can limit yourself on the application name or the provider publisher name. And with that, even the newer version that's coming in, it would be still considered and marked to the same policy, even if they are changing all the versions or going through the any versions. Okay. So now going through the managing the remote access solutions in Windows 10, Windows 8.1, we have a phone VPN provisioning available through a MDM solution, and any third-party MDM can manage Windows Phone VPN deployment. However, on the Windows PC side, for our VPN platform application, that was only available to our first-party MDM solution, which is, we call it Intune. In Windows 10, we are opening this platform uniformly to all third-party MDM providers. So any third-party MDM providers can manage a VPN app's deployment of it and then policies for that VPN. As part of the same effort, what we are asking the VPN solution providers or ISVs to write these store apps, our own implementation of SSTP, the Secure Socket Tunnel protocol, which we have on the Windows Inbox, we are making that particular implementation available as a store app. So once that store app is available, it would have the same experience as any third-party VPN client application experience you have, and then you would be able to download or install that application on Windows Phone and on Windows PC side. That makes basically the SSTP tunnel to be available on the Windows Phone. It's already available on the proprietary or the Win32 style implementation. On the Windows 10, we will make it a store app. As I said, like, you know, the MDM entry point, like, you know, we are allowing all the third-party MDM solution providers to manage the VPN. We will also ensure the backward compatibility for the 8.1. So if your implementation is about the 8.1 and then you are not leveraging any new Windows 10 features, you would be able to still provision the VPN properties or profile in Windows 10 for the 8.1 existing features. There is no application compatibility changes in that area. The third thing we are allowing, we are extending our platform, VPN platform, to for the workplace applications. And I'm trying to explain the scenarios. So in this case, the entire VPN profile management experience can be done via a store app. So if, as an enterprise, you don't have MDM solution deployed, you could still have a store app, which is marked as a workplace app, can provide a central place of the experience of getting your line of business applications installed, your VPN profile getting managed, and then you having a connect, disconnect, and entire VPN session experience from that workplace app. So we would be extending our VPN SDK to have that capability available to the workplace app. With that, even the existing VPN solution providers can provide the entire UI experience. If they feel like they can give a better connection experience than our view available area network or the inbuilt connection manager experience we have on the Windows mobile devices and Windows PCs, they can build that entire UI experience using the workplace app. And all the policies for the 8.1 or the further upgrades would be migrated. So as and when you upgrade your OS and you have existing VPN policy, you don't have to redo your policies again. It would be migrated to the next OS. Our VPN managing remote experience solution, as I said, it's integrated with the next generation protocol. What does it mean from a MDM solution provider? You can deploy VPN using next NGC Professional, which is a new set of virtual smart card implementations. So you can have your NGC certificate being provisioned with the PIN protection, and that certificate resides in your TPM. No one can tamper it, and VPN can leverage the entire experience towards it. So here I'm on the last slide of it. This is more towards, like, you know, for our VPN ISVs and MDM solution providers, the kind of SDK and then CSP we are providing in the Windows 10. And CSP is a properties or a schema that can be leveraged by the MDM solution provider to provision this VPN solution on Windows 10 devices. So as I said, for the CSP and workplace app, we are providing an APIs to create and provision VPN profile. So you can create a VPN profile, edit your VPN profile, delete your VPN profile. In this capability, if you are a workplace app and you have created a VPN profile, you will have access to only your profile. If there is another workplace app who has created another VPN profile, you cannot access to the other profile. So in your context, when you try to enumerate or show the available VPN connections or you try to manage the VPN profile, it's only applicable to the profiles you own. And then we create that nice separate boundary to make sure we don't overlap. You can add application triggers. That's a feature available in 8.1. You can have a per application VPN list being provided. You can create the deep down network filter list based on the five tuples port policies. You can have the per application filtering done on the FQBN. And fully qualified binary name, just to repeat, like, you know, it can go up to the, like, you can have just publisher, you can have the package name, you can have versioning, you can have, like, the name of the application, the process ID. So it's up to you how you want to filter and then provision that application. And in a simple format, that would be available for the MDM solution provider and the CSP. You can restrict access to a certain networks. You can define, this is my corporate network. You have an APIs to define your corporate network, and then VPN would learn the signature of that network to ensure and declare that you are connected to the corporate network or not. And based on that heuristic, it can take some other secure actions for you. So that APIs to define your corporate network, apart from the auto learning, would be available for IT admin side. Then we would have a VPN session managements, VPN session managements to connect and terminate the session. The folks who are familiar with the 8.1, we did not have this ability available to our solution provider where the VPN client solution itself disconnect or connect the connection. It's either user initiated or triggered from the platform side. But in the Windows 10, we would allow the ISVs or the client applications to have manage the session, to manage their VPN sessions. They can do the request credentials of it, and then in Box, we support multiple types of credentials. We support the this is all in the inbox experience. You have a password-based certificate, PIN protected, and on top of it, we have provided a customized credential APIs to the third-party VPN solution where they can request any type of the other form of the credentials, whether it's asking some role or questions or biometric or something. So in those scenarios, they can use our request credential API to request the custom credentials which are not available as part of Windows platform. We would be integrating with our NGC solution, as I said, that would provide some aspect of the single sign-on experience if the admin or if the user logs in using those credentials. And in that case, user will not be asked to provide us keys which are registered with the next generation credentials, and then would be a VPN connection would be established on the go if user has already provided the same credentials or information before. On the other side of the managing the data, we would have APIs available. As we said, the VPN task always running on the background and just to make sure the battery life is preserved. So we would be having APIs where you can the VPN can request the buffer, the packets it wants to send. It can, like, you know, receive the buffer. So we trigger the notification to the VPN solution provider saying that there is a data and an action you need to take, and based on that action, they can call these buffer management APIs to process the data. Yes?
Can you talk more about the server side of this solution?
Yes. So server side of the solution, as we said, we allowed this platform so third party can implement their own proprietary solution. So you don't have to change, say you have deployed a VPN solution from a particular vendor, and that vendor supports a particular proprietary implementation of the protocol, you don't have to change your server. You can keep your server as it is. All you have to do is upgrade to the Windows 10, and then Windows 10 upgrade, you would be able to leverage always on per application VPN, enterprise data protection, next generation credentials. All of these things would be available without requiring a change on the server side infrastructure.
Thank you.
Yes. Client. Yes, and in this case, like, you know, the client would be, yes, you have to implement the VPN client on the Windows platform using our SDK. But if you have already implemented in 8.1, there are about, like, you know, good number of partners available on the 8.1. They don't have to modify to leverage these features. So in that case, that client itself would work for the per application VPN on always on. So in that scenario, neither you need to change your server nor on the client side implementation of the VPN application. Does that make sense? Yes. I'm unable to hear, sir. Question is it expected to replace the direct access? So direct access is about an experience we provide, and direct access provided a too big experience in my opinion. Experience number one, it's a always connected experience for the end user. So end user doesn't have to think about it, it's always available. On the IT admin side, it's always managed connection, because even if user has not logged in, there is a connection to the network, and if you need to push patches and other things, it's managed. We believe the direct access, these both the experience on the always managing and then always connected side, is required for not only for the domain joined devices, but for the non-domain joined devices if the enterprise wish to. And in that respect, we would be bringing the experience, which is always connect experience, to the non-domain joined devices as well. And with the MDM solutions available online, which is a cloud service, you would be able to manage your device, whether it's like, you know, your mobile device or your desktop PC, online, and that connection will always be available. So yes, in nutshell, we will not, like, you know, replace direct access, but I would say the direct access experience is available to non-domain join and your BYOD devices. Well, yes, so the question is, can I have a multiple per application VPN profiles where, the example, there is application A belongs to a VPN profile A that connects to the server A, and then there is application B that's, like, you know, belongs to profile B that connects to server B. And as long as there is no conflict, there is no conflict where you define application A belongs to both the profile. As long as enterprise admin has done the right set of filtering, we would allow these multiple per application VPN profiles to come up. And in that case, since the application is bound to a particular VPN interface, even if you have an IP address conflict, which is it's a good chance you would have that conflict, but since it's a application bound, it's not a network bound, it's the identity of application that is bound to the interface, you should be still able to connect and not have any data overlap or connectivity issues. Any other question? There was, yes. What is the advantage direct access have over this solution? As I said, I mean, like, direct access was, like, you know, having the additional scenarios that were not available to the non-domain joined or the personal devices. So once this entire experience is available to the non-domain joined devices, there is no advantage, disadvantage. What we are saying, the non-domain joined devices or your mobile devices are as important as your enterprise devices and then should be able to have the same experience. And one could still decide to, like, you know, use direct access just because direct access has a set of, like, you know, availability only on the corporate domain joined machines. It's a policy provision happens on the GP side. So that would still functional. But on the overall scenario support side, I believe at some point we want to make sure we don't differentiate between the domain joined versus non-domain joined devices. And direct access again was like, you know, available with the Windows server only, and this solution would be available per application always on to any VPN solution provider. We believe, like, you know, given the existing deployment, we want to make sure Windows device is always connected. That's our first priority, then to, like, you know, make sure it just works with our own VPN or the direct access solution. So with that, we are opening up a platform, making the Windows to have a best connectivity experience irrespective of what kind of remote access solution a particular enterprise have deployed. Yes.
I was a long way back, so I thought I'd come to the mic. So the title of the talk was about the future of VPN.
Uh-huh.
So is it, if a company is considering deploying direct access specifically,
uh-huh.
I know it doesn't actually have any impact on these APIs and things that you're talking about, but
yeah.
Is there any considerations that they should take into account with the future of Windows 10, e.g. if they do it on 2012 R2 now, is it going to continue to work? Are there any considerations, what's new that's coming that we should be thinking about?
So given that from Microsoft, we have a direct access solution available since, I guess, Windows 2012. And we would continue to support the existing solution and functionalities. Even we are making a big investment on the VPN side of it. That doesn't mean we would be having a broken experience on the direct access side. But the consideration from the enterprise side would be the kind of remote access solution you want to provide to your end user. And if this is the beginning when, like, you know, you are freshly thinking how to deploy a remote access solution, and the criteria comes in, I want to have my information workers or end user use mobile devices, it's like, you know, it's a PCs and then other third-party devices, then probably you may want to consider the Windows 10 investment. But if you are just happy with the direct access part of it and then you care about the domain joined machines only, then you can continue using direct access.
But is anything changing in direct access in Windows 10 and Windows Server 10 that you can tell us about? That was specifically my question.
So the direct access as a tip, the current implementation, direct access as an experience that's changing. We are bringing a direct access experience to the NDJ, but the direct access solution that's available on the corporate domain joined machines, nothing is changing. We'll maintain the parity. Okay. Any other question? Well, if there,
Sorry, two questions.
Okay.
First of all, you called, mentioned that fully based qualified binary name, and you related that also to a certificate.
Yes.
Is there always a need to have that signed, or will you also have a possibility to limit that to the name, path, and checksum, for example?
Yes. So you would be having both the options. You can just give the name, and then you can trust the name, and that's what the system would behave. But
also with a checksum in combination?
Yes, you can have the entire GUID and then the other things available. So I'm not able to recall all the details what the fully qualified binary name has it, but for sure path and then checksum and publisher name, process ID, everything is available as part of the fully qualified binary name. And admin can utilize whatever the criteria it want to define its per application VPN.
And the other part which really makes me wonder is when you limit that for a process, in the future it might be more difficult for a network admin to diagnose if there is the underlying network available or not. In the past, you use a ping and you know, okay,
yes.
Ping is working, you know the network is there. Will you provide also logging and diagnostic possibilities so that we can easily figure out?
So VPN platform, if it's like based on the per application deployment blocks or allows an application to send the traffic, both the events would be locked. The blocking would be available by default. Allowed one is like, you know, when you enable it. So because that's like, you know, just to, you want to make sure why it's working. But especially for the block scenario where user has no clue why it's not working, we would be logging the right event set to make sure it's available and then can be diagnosed.
Okay, so yes. Especially for yes. Self-brewed applications where you
yes.
probably don't know, okay, there is an additional port necessary or
yes.
flow necessary.
Yes, and then we would be putting the information about which rule is making it like, you know, block or unblock, so to provide that information. And we are thinking about, like, you know, have this API available for the third party to get leverage and then provide in their diagnostic experience as well. Well, that's end of my session. As I said, I had like, you know, only 40 minutes of the content. That's most of the question answer. Thank you very much. If you have any question or the feedbacks for our VPN program, as I said, we are still in a phase of developing, you know, the Windows 10 capabilities. So any feedback based on your own experience or the kind of policies you have, feel free to ping me, and then hopefully we should be able to do something about it. And I'm really, you know, appreciate your time to attend this session. Thank you very much.